What they need to understand is these killers, whether it's the drug gangs in Chicago or ISIS, they don't go, oh, gosh, they passed a law. I guess I can't do that. They don't care. They don't go, boy, they're thinking up another law to put on me. They could care less. It's like stopping the freight train with a piece of Kleenex. Yeah. We need to get serious, confront ISIS, confront the drug gangs that are killing people in Chicago, and make this country safe. And President Obama is sure not going to do it, and neither is Hillary Clinton. We need to change this country.
If you hear people on the left talk, you would think that that was the head of ISIS right there. That's Wayne LaPierre, the president of the National Rifle Association, talking about some of what the U.S. Senate did yesterday and discussing potential gun control measures. I'm Scott Voorhees. It's 10:07 on News Radio 1110 KFAB. We welcome onto the program the author of one of those potential measures, Senior Senator from Iowa, Senator Chuck Grassley, back here on the program on News Radio 1110 KFAB. Senator, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing there? I'm glad to talk to Iowans through your Omaha station. Thank you very much for having me on.
Our 50,000 watts goes both ways on each side of the river. Senator, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Yesterday, your cohort from Nevada, Senator Harry Reid, said that you and fellow Republicans were jumping for joy at whatever the NRA wanted to do in voting down responsible gun control measures. What is your read on what the U.S. Senate did yesterday, and what was your bill about?
Well, let me answer the first question first. It's about the Constitution. It's about the fundamental right of an individual to bear arms. And that means buying guns for your personal protection. That's what the Second Amendment is about. And it's a matter of making sure that due process is involved so you don't take away lawful people buying guns or exercising their constitutional right in a process of trying to keep people that are dangerous from getting guns. And it's a due process that applies to the Second Amendment, which is the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights, just like due process would apply to the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of radio, or the Fourth Amendment, protection of privacy, or the Fifth Amendment, which also guarantees due process, and to make sure you're compensated when the government wants to steal your property. So that's what that does. Now, your second question about my bill, it's all about due process, but we're also trying to take care of some problems that are in some of these lists. So the first part of it would be to make sure that there's law enforcement notification. If a person who's been investigated for terrorism over the last 5 years tries to buy a gun, and if they've determined that he isn't a threat, but then he tries to buy a gun and he was on that list 5 years ago, then it would give an opportunity for them to go back and check on him again. It would increase the funding for the FBI-related list of people who can't buy guns. It goes by the acronym NICS, and the reason you need more funding there is because it's not exactly doing everything it should do to make sure that people have guns don't get guns. So it also improves the NICS background check. It addresses the mental health issue where, if you can believe this, the Veterans Administration puts people on the do not buy gun list just because you might have a third party handle your finances, and that somehow signals you got a mental problem.
Right.
And you get on there without even having a judicial redress, or you don't get on there. And you get on there with just an administrative process. So, and my bill also requires reports to Congress on firearms prosecution? Because this administration has cut down on firearms prosecution by at least 20%. And if you remember Fast and Furious, this is the last thing I'll tell you about. If you remember Fast and Furious, that was done by the Bureau of Alcohol Tax.
Well, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, right?
Yeah, you're right. And so this requires the Attorney General to give approval of that if that's ever going to be done in the future. Now, my amendment got a majority vote of the United States Senate, but it didn't get the 60 votes necessary to pass.
Senator, I'm going to try and have this end with a question and not go so long-winded that it sounds like a sermon. But you probably heard about a year ago here in the Omaha area, we lost a police officer.
Yeah.
Carrie Orozco.
Yeah.
The individual who purchased the gun for the felon who used it and killed Officer Orozco purchased the weapon unlawfully. She was a straw purchaser and gave it to her boyfriend, who is a felon. And because she crossed state lines with it, having purchased it in Atlanta, I believe, the federal government had the opportunity to really severely punish her for her crime. She got almost nothing, just a few hours of community service and some probation. That was it. So when you're talking about with your bill that was shot down yesterday, where if you've been investigated by the FBI for terrorism in the last 5 years and you've been found not to have done anything wrong, and now you go buy a gun, well, now is an opportunity for the FBI to go look at you again. I see some problems with that. One of them is that person would just have someone else go buy the gun, knowing that the federal government's not going to do anything to that person because they whiffed on that in the last year. The other one being, if the FBI is already so stretched to the limits in tracking down these individuals we're trying to watch, if you go buy a gun, when's the FBI supposed to respond and come in there, and they've already investigated you, found you to have no links to terrorism. Now you have, the only difference is you have a gun. Does just having that gun mean that you're going to go and shoot up a nightclub in Orlando? I've got some problems with the direction you were trying to take some of these gun control measures yesterday for those reasons.
Well, we aren't trying to make it illegal for lawful people to buy guns. We're trying to guarantee the due process, which the Feinstein Amendment didn't guarantee. And you're entitled to due process under the Second Amendment, just like you are the First Amendment or the Fourth Amendment. And that's what we were trying to accomplish. We weren't trying to have more gun control. In fact, the mental health issue I just described to you, I just got done telling you how somebody that had been in the military had to go to the VA. He had to maybe have some help handling his finances. And just based on that, not whether or not he's a danger to society, he was put on this list. So a lawful person who could buy a gun can't buy a gun because he's on the FBI list now.
I agree with that, and that's why I'm glad that you voted against some of these measures. For example, having people who are on the no-fly list not be able to purchase a firearm. There have been scores of examples of individuals who found themselves on the no-fly list. They have no idea how they got on there. They have absolutely no links to terrorism. They've not been found to have committed anything beyond a speeding ticket in their lives, and they don't know how to get off the no-fly list. If the government doesn't want you to buy a gun, all they got to do is put you on the no-fly list.
And the Cornyn Amendment would give you an opportunity of due process to ask if you're on the list, why you're on the list, and if you feel you shouldn't be on the list, gives you due process to get off the list.
But I don't think in my example of the federal government having a real opportunity to send a message to straw purchasers of firearms. If you're saying, well, we need to restrict some individuals from buying guns because of the FBI doing a terror investigation on them, then if they're just going to have someone else buy the gun for them, and the federal government's already shown a lack of willingness to enforce the laws that we have on the books now.
Yeah. The only thing is the FBI's got to show probable cause before they can go back and institute that 5-day that 5-year period that you're talking about. So there is constitutional protection in that particular instance.
What happens next? We talk here with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. What happens next? Because it seems, I think I speak for Americans on all sides of this issue with firearms, that Americans are frustrated. Some people want something meaningful done. Some people want the government to stop trying to unnecessarily intrude upon their Second Amendment rights. And every year or so, we have a dangerous terrorist incident. We have a shooting at a school, and everyone says it's time to do this, and then absolutely nothing gets done. What happens next?
Well, now, this isn't a criticism of your line of questioning of me, but both you and I, during this period of time, have not kept our eye on the ball. The eye on the ball must be that we've got to go to the source of the tragedy that happened in Orlando, and that is a radical, extreme Islam terrorism, and this whole gun debate is to detract attention from the problems that we have with extreme Islamic terrorism. And the administration doesn't want to talk about it. They hardly hate to use the word. That's where we got to keep our eye on the ball, because on Facebook, on 9/11 calls, and a whole history of this guy being radicalized, and that's not my opinion. That's FBI Director Comey's opinion. And so we've now talked about this, or at least I brought it up, and I hope you don't resent that I brought it up.
But not at all.
That's what we've got to keep our eye on. And that isn't being discussed at all, because the other party, who has done such a poor job of bringing troops home from Iraq and creating a vacuum there that ISIS can fill, and these people are radicalized by ISIS, and the FBI says there's at least 1,000 of them in this country, either potential terrorists here or aiding and abetting ISIS, and there's at least one in every state that the FBI has to keep their eye on right now.
What do we do about it? And who's the one in Iowa?
Well, we don't. The FBI probably knows, and they wouldn't tell me, or if they told me, I couldn't tell you, because they want to watch the guy, and they don't want to know that he's being watched. They don't want him to know.
You can tell me. I won't tip him off. You can tell me.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what do we do about the grander issue? That I'm so glad you brought up those points, Senator, and you're exactly right. Then the question is, what do we do about it? We've got two presidential contenders. One, according to media reports, wants to find every single Muslim and round them up and send them off to Mexico or something. The other one wants to give them all a hug and say, we understand why you hate us.
Yeah.
Now, these are very fringe spectrum points as to what one feels about the other. What do we do about this issue?
Well, first of all, let me make clear when I make this statement, I'm not saying the president of the United States wants to aid and abet the enemy, but he doesn't want to talk about this. And his words he doesn't want to use, words have meanings, and we need to take that into consideration. He doesn't want to use the words Islamic radical terrorism. But words are very important. And as I said, I don't think President Obama means to do anything to assist the bad guys. But we do need to be clear who the enemy is. And in this case, it is a radical brand of Islam. And we shouldn't hide from that. And it seems to me like the president does want to hide from it. Not making that very clear to the American people and to the world can allow radicals to hide behind the good name of Islam. We're not fighting Islam. We're fighting the radicals therein.
So if the president just says everything you said, then suddenly we're going to have less of a problem with radical Islam? And there has to be more than just trying to get a president to say those words. Then the question becomes, well, what are we going to do about it? I just keep coming back to this point.
Okay.
Donald Trump got in some trouble the other day when he said it's time for police profiling of people who meet a certain demographic, shall we say. And people said, well, you're now racially profiling against Muslim people.
He was referring to other countries that have been successful doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying it should be done in the United States. I think you're talking about a more robust military approach to ISIS. And I think we're gradually going down that road now without the president admitting it, because he's finally listening to the generals in the Defense Department to a greater extent. They're having greater tasks. They've put the control of the drones more in control of the Department of Defense as opposed to the intelligence. They're putting more people on the ground to work with the Iraqi and Syrian elements that are up front in the front lines. And maybe it's a good thing that we don't know exactly what's being done, because one of the problems of this president as commander-in-chief, he's always told the enemy what he's going to do and when he's going to do it and when he's going to quit doing it.
Right.
And that's not something that you should tell your enemy.
Well, he makes every incident here, whether it's San Bernardino, Orlando, or an awful school shooting, he makes the issue about guns, not about radical Islam, not about mental health. He makes the issue about guns. And the Senate yesterday blocked various bills to do anything when it comes to gun control. Last question, Senator, because I'm on our homepage at KFAB.com, and I'll let you vote on the poll question. Is there any firearm legislation that would put a dent in mass shooting crimes, in your opinion? And I'll register your vote here on our homepage.
Yeah. Not if you look at it from the standpoint of the killer in Orlando. Mass murder of 49 people. He got his guns legally. So everything that's been suggested on the Senate floor so far would not have prevented him from doing the killing he was doing. And let's suppose that you were successful in something I don't agree on, because I don't want to compromise people's constitutional rights that lawfully can own guns. But if you did away with all the guns that he used, and he wanted to accomplish it, he could have done like they did in Boston, create bombs.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any wording on the poll question. That's exactly what you said, so I'm going to put down a no. And that's you're along with 94% of KFAB Nation on that one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Senator, thank you very much for the time today.
Goodbye.